Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
How y'all feel?
I want to know if you got your popcorn ready.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH. 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
Shane and Jacob with you here on a Monday. Bruce back in tomorrow. First hour in the books. Talked a lot of golf in the first hour after Francesco Molinari won the British Open, holding off Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, and others. If you missed any part of the first hour and you want to listen to a particular segment, Andrew feverishly working to put it up on the pod, kfhradio.com. You can listen to pretty much the entirety of the show once it's over if you missed any part of it. What's on tap here in the second hour, brought to you by Side Pockets, where the Monday lunch special is a BLT sandwich or quarter pound cheeseburger, both served with fries for only $5.95 today. What's on tap here in the second hour? We hopefully will have Joel Goldberg 25 minutes from now, pre and post host on Fox Sports Kansas City, talking Royals. After they are on a modest little three-game winning streak, swept the Twins over the weekend, they welcome the Tigers into town starting tonight at 6:30. Also, what's on tap this weekend, the NBC World Series, powered by Westar Energy, is coming starting July 27th. And a reminder, all youth wearing team jerseys receive free admission every game, every day. So as much as your little munchkin likes to wear his uniform, have him do it, and you get in free at the NBC World Series. Check out all the great promotions at NBCBaseball.com or download the NBC World Series app to your mobile device today. Also, keep listening throughout the show and the rest of the week for NBC World Series tickets. We'll be giving those away. Also, coming up a little bit later on this day in sports history, if time allows, Jacob and I will talk about the Kawhi to Toronto trade and DeRozan being part of it. Jody Adams is the newest assistant at SIU. So the former Shocker head coach for WSU's women is back in the college game in the Missouri Valley Conference at SIU. Saw that on Twitter the other day. That's that a surprise to you, Jacob? How to call that. She was an assistant at Derby High, and then, boom, now she's back in the Valley.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think it was, inevitable that the road back for her took a few interesting stops. It was probably, I can imagine that it felt good to get back to high school and just being able to coach a little bit. Derby, by the way, last year was really good. They won the state title. What I thought was interesting in the release that SIU sent out were some glowing words from Greg Marshall. And I don't recall him ever really talking about anything to do with that situation, which is understandable.
Sure.
And it was very glowing, like one of the best, or if not, maybe it was the best women's coach he'd ever been around. So that's fine. That was we were talking about uncomfortable stories earlier. That was about as uncomfortable a story in the sports world as I've ever been around.
That was right up there, wasn't it?
Oh, God, it was just such a weird one. And it ended, just with a mutual parting of ways. And I'm not surprised at all. And she's been there before, and she's clearly a good coach and knows how to coach as far as on the court and X's and O's and those types of things. And I honestly, Shane, I think she'll probably get another head job at some point.
I would agree. Yep. Mm-hmm. She's had a colorful career, no question. Jody Adams Birch, want to get right. That correct. Helped SIU back in 2007 to get a regular season championship as an assistant and led Wichita State to 161 victories as the head coach at Wichita State. Spent 9 seasons as Shocker head coach, winning 3 Valley championships, advancing to 3 NCAA tournaments, the only 3. Won 20 or more games in 4 straight seasons, and made 6 straight postseason appearances overall during her tenure. She also recruited Alex Harden, program's first honorable mention All-America pick, and was the 18th pick of the WNBA draft in 2015. So she's not without some skins on the wall, that's for sure. But in January of 2017, the school called it an amicable split, and Linda Hargrove finished up the season for Jody Adams Birch, who, as Jacob alluded to, Derby only went 23-1 last year and won the Class 6A state title. So, and by the way, the SIU interim athletic director, Jerry Kill, from Cheney.
Really?
Yeah. How about that?
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
that's really interesting.
He's back at SIU as well. And that, he's had a long and winding road with his former football coaching.
God, I'm glad he's back doing that. Yeah. I didn't realize he was already back in. I'm glad to hear that. I mean, that I assume that means his health's in good condition.
I assume so too. And obviously, those that are in the know with, and familiar with the seizures that he's had to deal with, hopefully, those are in the rear view as much as they possibly could be. Kill was quoted as saying, "Everyone I have talked to has had nothing but good things to say about her. I spoke with Greg Marshall, and he said she was as good a woman's coach that has ever been around, that he has ever been around, and that we are lucky to get her. Anyone that has worked under Pat Summitt knows a lot about basketball." And this is a quote from Jerry Kill, the interim athletic director. "She is a coach I'm very familiar with who comes from a great pedigree and is a proven winner." So, there you have it. If you hadn't heard
that. I read that release. I glanced right over that. Didn't even realize that was him giving those quotes. Yes. Didn't even hit me.
That's kind of an interesting story all the way around with all the players in it. And I didn't realize that Greg had, like you pointed out to me, that Greg had, kind of went to bat for her, so to speak. And so, Jody Adams Birch back in the college game at SIU. Talked about Manny Machado. We last segment mentioned that he was traded from the Baltimore Orioles to the Dodgers. And he was kind of the kingpin. Like, okay, once Machado gets traded, then watch out. Well, nothing
it's
much has
down,
happened.
Hadn't it?
Yeah, nothing's really.
We had a couple big reliever trades. I think the Indians trade for the two relievers is possibly the most impactful trade that will be made.
Brad Hand's really good, and
They gave up a lot to get him. He is a top end. That's probably the best player we'll see traded away as far as to a team that's selling. That's a big time prospect. Which the Padres have, like, because I'm a baseball nerd, I'm sort of going back through and reevaluating the minor league baseball season and prospects and stuff halfway through. The Padres have like 10 of the top 100,
yeah,
which is ridiculous. I don't know that I've ever seen a number that high. And again, the Royals have 0.
Yep.
Yeesh.
It should be an exciting time for the Royals. They should be making some trades. I mean, they swept a series. That was like their first 3-game win streak of any kind in almost a year.
Correct.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
I don't know if there's another big... I feel like there probably is another big one or two, but it's probably going to just be a peppering of smaller deals. But I think that there will certainly be impactful deals that are still made. We got a what is it,
sure,
the 31st this year?
Yeah,
it is the 31st this year. So we got some time. I never understand what takes so long. Like, if you're a team in contention, why are you waiting? Why would you not want to get 8 or 9 more games out of whoever you're going to trade for? Because it's not like the price changes in a week.
Trying to get equitable stuff in return, which you're never going to get.
Yeah, I know, but do you think, Shane, that... Let's say 2 weeks ago, do you think that the price for Brad Hand is any different than it was what they paid? And I know that, but the, and for like the Indians, you know you're going to win that division, or at least you have, you know, that's the way that you would be thinking about it. So it's not like you're trying to evaluate whether or not you need to make the move. But why wait? Don't you want to get that 8 or 9 more games out of the guy you're trading for?
Yeah, but and here's, I guess, what I assume is the tricky part. Okay, let's say you've got a 2-player package from the White Sox, and you get 3 from, you know, the Padres. Now comes the unenviable task of determining, all right, what's the better package? What's the better haul in return? And who knows? Because they're prospects. You know, if they're big league players, you can certainly evaluate that a lot easier. And that's the hand-wringing that I'm sure that the upper management and the scouts and the advanced scouts and GM and special assistant to the GM, they all have to pore over these offers that, frankly, don't stay on the table probably for very long because there's other teams involved. There's other people in the mix. You trading, you know, the Royals trading Mike Moustakas, they're not going to get someone that equals Mike Moustakas. Same way with Zach Britton. Same way with Manny Machado or Familia or Brad Hand. You're not getting, not right now anyway, you're not getting something that's equitable. These kids may turn into something that is better than who you gave away, but it's an absolute lottery ticket. You don't know. And so that's my educated guess, why this takes so long, or why, you know, our rhetorical question is, what's taking so long? Why is Mike Moustakas still in the Royals uniform? You know, package better than the Braves? Are the Phillies?
Well, I'm more perplexed that the buying teams haven't put together what would be their best offer. And I guess there is time for some of them, but the Royals, it makes sense to wait because you want people to get, you know, to sweat it and maybe up their offer. But if you're the buying team, are you really going to offer more? Maybe you do. I don't know. Sometimes I'm a little surprised that so many of them come right down to the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you had made that offer last week, you could have had this guy for another 8 games.
Well, and the Royals kind of jumped the gun in a good way on everybody by trading John Jay and Kelvin Herrera a long time ago. Way before there was even deadline talk. And so that got me thinking, well, jeez, Moustakas might be long gone. Whit Merrifield, if you don't think he's part of the future, which I happen to, I wouldn't be too upset if they kept Whit and extended him. But Moustakas, that's a foregone conclusion. I'm surprised that he's still there. But there are plenty of teams still, if you believe what you read, interested in Mike Moustakas, including but not limited to the Red Sox, Braves, and the Yankees. There was talk of the Cardinals a while ago. But all the while, Jacob, as the days click off and the weeks pass, some of these teams also have to reconsider whether they're actually buyers or sellers because they're right on the edge. I was talking to somebody the other day that going into the All-Star break, as improbable as it would have seemed, the Minnesota Twins had to look long and hard at whether they could reel in the Indians, and they owed it to their fans because they wrapped up the first half, or not the first half, but pre-All-Star break with the Royals, and then had 3 more with the Royals after the All-Star break. And I know it's kind of a pipe dream, but you have to, you know, think about it legitimately. At the Royals and at the Blue Jays after the All-Star break. Teams like that in a week's time can go from buyers to sellers.
Sure.
And that's why everybody gets lukewarm on, well, what are we going to do? And you know, who are we going to
trade
away?
But there's less of that in the American League, don't you think? Like,
yes.
It's pretty, like the Indians, if the Indians, Yankees, Red Sox, or Astros think that they need something, you go get that now. I understand it with some of the other teams. And, you know, to some degree, the Mariners. But are you surprised to see the A's make a move?
Yeah, a little bit. I was.
To get a guy? A little bit, right? The A's are always doing things that surprise us, though.
They're only 3 out of the wild card right this second.
Right. And that's an interesting. I mean, they're clearly going to push. And, boy, this is very A's of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've ever told you this, Shane, but, God, I hate the A's.
They're the most unlikely to hate maybe on the planet.
I know. People always think that's weird, but it is weird.
Would you like to go into that? Would you like to say that?
Yeah, okay. Yes. First of all, I'm a Rangers fan, and I don't make any bones about that.
Okay.
And they broke my Rangers heart in my most impressionable years, probably more than any other team. And it was always frustrating because, you know, on paper, their rosters always sucked and you never know who their players are. And you're like, why are they always beating us? And I was really annoyed by them. And the other problem that I have with it is Billy Beane's placed on this pedestal like he's the greatest thing ever gifted to the game of baseball. I mean, there's never been a more famous and well thought of guy that, you know, has like never won a playoff series, I don't think, or you know, he got to an exciting game of a division series against the Yankees and lost. Okay. A little overrated there. Mm-hmm. I mean, goodness, they traded Josh Donaldson a couple years ago. Let's not forget that, right before a couple MVP runs. But it's deep rooted. They have broken the Rangers' heart so many times. That's where it really stems from. So then you're just sort of picking a little bit.
So you got to hate the Yankees too, because they couldn't get over the Yankees.
But we got our revenge. We got our Yankees revenge in 2010. And I do hate the Yankees. Okay, just not as much as the A's. And from a fan's perspective, of course, we're certainly objective when we need to be.
Jacob Allrock on the couch with some Oakland A's talk. All right,
it does, better? Man. Nah, yeah, a little bit.
All right,
I probably don't hate them as much as I used to. Honestly, like if we're really looking at it, and it's them and the Yankees in a playoff series, I'm probably gonna pull for the A's. But there's some deep stuff there.
I really like the National League right about now because of the Phillies and the Braves are so far ahead of schedule. And the Brewers look like they're there to stay. And there is and it's easier to be more interested in the National League because there's a dogfight for the final.
Well, right. It's going to be much more interesting down the stretch.
A's are three out in the American, and everybody else is done. Rays, Angels, Blue Jays, Twins. It's over. I mean,
you think it's over for the Angels? They're the one team am not ready. I'm not ready to pull the plug on them. I mean, I know they lost Richards, and that's going to probably be the last straw. But I'm not quite ready to do it with them. But I'm close. But I'm with you on that. In every other spot,
they're as mediocre as you could possibly be. They're right at 500. Right,
but they're mediocre with the best player in the world and a little bit of talent in some places.
He only gets the bat every ninth time, you know.
If they're, you know, how many games are they out in the wild card? Five? It's hard to
guess again.
It's hard to pull
over.
What are they out in the wild card?
10.
Oh, 10. Wait a minute.
They're 10 back of the Mariners for the second wild card, brother.
Yeah, okay, maybe they're out.
Yeah, they're out.
Maybe they're out. Now, you can make up 10. You can make up 10, but it's unlikely. I don't even know. I don't know what to think about Tampa. See, I'm ready to pull the plug on Tampa.
They're only a half game better than the Angels.
I know, but I just feel like.
And they're 5.5.
I've seen it too many times that a team makes a run, and if I was going to bet on any team making a run of the teams in the American League, I mean, it would have to be the Angels or Toronto, and Toronto's even further back. I don't think it's Tampa. I don't buy their smarter-than-everybody pitching philosophies. It'd have to be the Angels if it's anybody.
Yeah, what's that all about?
Maybe it's not anybody. I don't know. It's fine. I get it. I understand it to some degree, but I'm still old school enough that I want my best pitchers throwing the most innings they can possibly throw.
Yeah, I don't understand it, and I didn't really unpack why they...
I think it's more about high leverage and putting guys in a position to be more effective as much as anything, but there still will never be anything more effective than Max Scherzer in the pitching world.
And short of having Kershaw when he's healthy. They try to get clever, you know, but I don't know.
I commend their willingness to adjust to their strengths of their roster. That I'm okay with. But as far as this evolutionary change in baseball, I just don't buy that yet. clearly we're seeing more emphasis on the bullpen because starters aren't going as many innings. That I can get on board with. But I can't get on board with we're just going to have pitching staffs of like 25 guys and everybody throws a couple innings. That's never going to happen because your starters you want throwing the most, and it's pitchers like, would never buy into that.
It's like a midweek Missouri Valley Conference game.
Right.
That's exactly seven guys like. Out there guaranteed.
And nobody wants to see that either. You want to talk about pace of play? God, Tony La Russa. It's like Tony La Russa manages every team in baseball.
Mm-hmm. By the way, and Bruce and I have talked about this, and he's a little bit of a Seattle guy because of his time in the Northwest. But the Mariners, 60-40, doing most of it without Robbie Cano. And whether you – and I'm not totally a – new school metrics guy, not by a long shot, but I do subscribe to the run differential theory to prove how good you are. Their run differential is one, and they're 20 games over 500. That, when you're one game over 500, is a definition of average. But if you're 20 over, to me, that's a definition of lucky. When is their luck going to run out?
It's both, but we've seen it run through whole years where it didn't. I'm gonna be really interested to pull up some prior years. It's happened in other years where it's really close like that, and teams have been able to sustain it all the way through. It's going to be hard to find that right off the cuff, but it has happened.
Well, I can tell you, last year the Royals flirted with 500, and they were minus 89.
Right. Well, that they didn't.
They were lucky to be just there. Average. I mean,
the Twins were a playoff team last year, right? With a 27 run differential, not real high. Trying to look the other direction and see if there's ever.
You just don't get that lucky that often. I mean, that's bottom line. If you're right around,
it doesn't happen that often. But I think it can happen, don't you? I mean, we've seen. Okay, here's an example. This is what I was looking for. My Rangers in 2016, their run differential was 8, and they won 95 games.
There's a lucky team right there.
Totally. It's both lucky and or you're really, really stinking good in the bullpen.
Right.
I think what it can mean is that when you're in a position to win, you win. The Rangers in 2015, run differential, again, 88 wins, win the division of 18. So you've got to either have a really good bullpen and you just win the games you're in a position to win, and then you lose by larger margins when you lose, which happens. But yeah, it's a little odd. It's a little odd, but the Mariners are doing that. They're pitching great out of the bullpen and winning every close game.
Yeah, I think that's the key. You don't blow saves and you win a bunch of one or two run games. And when your offense doesn't show up, no big deal.
You get beat by six.
Yeah, right. You get boat raced. Yeah. But Edwin Diaz, probably the really good closer that you've never heard of. 80 strikeouts and 49 innings and 37 saves. And they got good setup guys to get the ball to him. But Seattle, 20 over 500 with basically a push when it comes to
God, you got to root for them, don't you?
I'm okay with them. Yeah, you bet. I'm okay with them. And James Paxton's coming off the DL, too. So they'll get a little bit of a boost with that. Shane and Jacob on a Monday. Sports Daily continues after this.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.